Corporation. He joins us now. Welcome, Mark. You're a familiar voice on the show, so thank you so much for joining us. So to start with, can you introduce yourself and the Capital District Area Labor Federation?
So my name is Mark Emanation. I'm the executive director of the Capital District Area Labor Federation, which is all of the unions, 41 different unions, 130,000 members approximately in the 11 counties around Albany. We go from Essex County to, Montgomery and Schoharie and Fulton and Washington and Hamilton, Saratoga, Rensselaer, Albany. It's Schenectady. It's a very big geographic spread, and we have teachers and nurses and electricians and grocery workers and hospital workers and everybody, the building trades, all the people that do all of the work around here that keep keep everything going is our members.
So you have a lot of people involved, a lot of networks. I feel like it used to be more common for people to, by default, be part of a union, which is now having a resurgence. What are some common misunderstandings that you hear around unions and unionizing?
So, the first unions in the United States are in the 1830s. And in the simplest things is like when you're up against the boss, the owner of the company, whatever company you're working for, you don't have any real leverage, just yourself versus this corporation or this company. So you get together with coworkers and you form a group to unify in order to advance your interests. It's had a huge, long history of ups and downs. It's been destroyed a few times and rebuilt a few times. It's been the social justice movement at times, like in the 30s. It has some really things that you could be massively proud of. Women fighting the earliest women's rights coincided with the right to vote, women's right to vote. They organized. There was a famous pecan shelling union, believe it or not, in East St. Louis and in St. Louis, and it was women, black and white, and they led the first successful strike in the Great Depression, and after they got done winning that strike, they then went and integrated the parks in East St. Louis and St. Louis. It was more of a thing that was a big, huge social movement, but for a while, that all sort of went away. And after Ronald Reagan was elected, and even before then, but after Ronald Reagan was elected, unions started getting broken like dishes. And from having maybe a 40% density of unionized workers, it's gone down to a really low density. We now have 13 million members nationwide, and New York State has 2.5 million of them.
So what was it about Reagan? Was it did he convince people that unions were a bad idea? What exactly was it that his administration did to break up unions?
So the first thing he did, he took on the air traffic controllers. He pushed by making them work ridiculously long hours in unsafe conditions. They struck, and he held firm, risked everyone's life that was flying, put in people that weren't trained to do it, and he broke that strike. From that, they broke the Eastern Airlines strike. They broke the miners' strike. They broke the paperwork strike. The government sided with the corporations all across the board on that. This coincided with the slashing of the social safety net by 67%. There was no massive amounts of homeless in the United States from the end of the World War II until 1980 when they did all those things. They closed all the old soldiers' homes, is what they were called. And I was living in Philadelphia. I was working for the Clothing and Textile Workers Union. All of a sudden, you had homeless everywhere. You had the first soup kitchens and food pantries that sprung up everywhere, and some of them are still around today. And it was all in response to Reagan's war on the working people here in the United States, which coincided with the war on people in Nicaragua and Grenada and other places that the United States invaded. So now we have more people interested in unions. The highest rating in 50 years of people, approval rating for unions as a trusted institution. I would like unions to be the tribune of the people as a whole, not just fight for her members and her families, but fight for working people and the poor as a whole. And those things are beginning to happen in the AFL-CIO. We have now a woman president of the AFL-CIO for the first time ever, was sure. We have the secretary treasurer is an African-American. And if that is a huge, I've been doing this a long time, a huge step forward. And the George Floyd Plaza, which they've named, they have they renamed the thing where the building is, having a racial justice economic training that everyone's taking, the real step to try to be, you know, part of that. And up here, we fed people. We're still feeding people. Next Monday, we have it in Schenectady at the Crosstown Plaza. And on Wednesday, we have it in Lansingburg at the Boys and Girls Club. The other thing that's happening is tons and tons of people are calling us up on the phone. I'm serious about this. 2-3 times a week, and this was not true 2 years ago, 2-3 times a week, I get a phone call that says, we're in such and such a place, we'd like to start a union. Obviously, Starbucks and Amazon are big examples, but not-for-profits like Joseph's House, schools like Skidmore, Capital Roots, and a bunch more that I'm not at liberty to say, but that we're getting calls on. These are unique challenges. It's old-timers like myself having to listen to young people, which is wonderful and beautiful. Young people showed up again in the union movement. They showed up in a social justice movement. They showed up in the union movement. So this year's Labor Day celebration nationally, we're going to try to make it as big as we possibly can. On Labor Day at Cook Park, we invite everyone. You don't have to be in a union. You can just come. We're going to have a big picnic noon to 4, Cook Park and Colony. And then on the 9th, we're going to have the Labor Parade. It goes to Corning Preserve, Jennings Landing. We're going to have a wonderful parade and music and marching bands and all sorts of stuff, but a serious message behind it. Working people have been taking it on the chin. We have billionaires flying to the stars while families are living in their cars. Evictions are going through the roof. I feed people who are elderly folks and disabled folks who run out of food halfway through the month because Social Security doesn't cut it any longer. And so that's the fight we're in. And I'm really happy to say we're at least in that fight. You know, we're in that fight.
I'm really glad that you mentioned the Starbucks and Amazons and then the Skidmores and the Joseph's House. What is the big difference between the multinational corporations and the small nonprofit local organizations? What is the difference in the way that those unions, the issues and how they're working?
That's the most serious question, because this never happened before where lots of not-for-profits called up. And so you don't want to take on Joseph's House like you take on Jeff Bezos. And the fact of the matter is our society doesn't treat the homeless well. There's no money for it. Hence, some of the people working at Joseph's House are a couple paychecks away from being homeless themselves. And so you have to have it where the union fights for the agency against the people that need to give the money to them, the state. And at the same time, work in some cases in opposition, but in some cases collaboratively with those things. You can't, it's not Bill Gates and Elon Musk. It's people who've dedicated their whole lives to try to make things better. And the union should work with them, in my opinion, to try to do that. And I think if we can get that right, we'll have tons more members in those not-for-profits, and tons more, those not-for-profits will be strengthened.
Great. We are quickly running out of time, and I do hope that you'll come back because I have so many more questions. But like you mentioned, Labor Day is coming up. So for people who want to get involved and find more information, where can they do that?
So if you look up the Capital District Area Labor Federation, just put that in any search engine, it'll pop up with our address, our phone numbers, our emails, all of that stuff, and you can get in touch with us. You'll see on the calendar all these events that are taking place. Cook Park, it's a beautiful park. Just come. You don't have to bring anything. You just bring yourself and your family. It's got kids stuff to do. It's going to have good food. ShopRite has helped us out. I'm in the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, and we work together to get ShopRite to give us hot dogs and hamburgers, et cetera. And that'll be really, that'll be good. And I think this Labor Day parade, because we haven't been able to do it for a couple of years because of the COVID crisis, I think that this is going to be a really big get together and it'll be good.
Thank you so much. So the Capital District Area Labor Federation can be searched in an engine or cdalf.org.
Yep.
Mark Emanation, thank you so much for joining us on Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
I come anytime. Thank you for having me.
Wonderful. Hope to see you again.
Bye.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill.
The sun is a mass of incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace, where hydrogen is built into helium at a temperature of millions of degrees.
Oh, Helios. Oh, yellow star, oh, glowing sphere, gleaming beacon, brilliant flaming orb, giver of light, warmth, and radio. Yes, it's true. WGXC's brand new solar panels are installed and ready for deployment, where they'll be calling on the free and plentiful rays of the sun to bring our station close to full sustainability.
To make WGXC a solar-powered radio station.
We are going solar, and WGXC will be a solar-powered community radio station, getting our power from the sun rather than foreign despots.
WGXC loves the sun, and we're going to love it even more now that WGXC is going solar.
I was just going to lie down for 5 minutes, take a little nap.
Yeah, a regular Rip Van Winkle.
Who?
Another guy who took a little nap, woke up, and didn't know where he was.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
My name is Sahia, and I'm 8 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
My name is Mila. I am 8 years old, and I am from Portland, Oregon.
And Fatia and Georgia and some of our other friends are here every week talking about
books we love, books we hate, bookish things.
And we're so glad to have Mila joining us again. This is Mila's second time with us on the radio. Mila is my niece and an avid reader. And Mila was visiting here in Hudson recently, and we read so many books together. It was really fun. Did you have a favorite book that we read together? We read a lot of picture books. Did you have any that you thought were funny or that you liked?
Yeah.
Which one?
A lot.
I know one that you thought was pretty funny. It was called, like, Baby Changing Station.
Don't talk about that.
It was pretty funny. It's told from this perspective of a kid who has a baby brother who he's starting to get a little annoyed with because the baby gets so much attention and everything that the baby does is like, oh, that baby's so amazing. And then one day his parents decide that it's time for him to help out with the baby right when the baby gets a really stinky diaper at a restaurant. And so the brother has to take the baby into the bathroom to, like, change his diaper. And he's doing all this work, and then all of a sudden the screen on the wall gives him a magic offer that he has a limited time to take, that he can get rid of this baby and get prizes. And nobody will know that the baby's gone. Nobody will remember. It's like a memory wiping thing. But with each prize that is explained that he could win for getting rid of his baby brother, he pictures how much fun it would be to use that prize with the baby when the baby grows up. And so, spoiler alert, he keeps the baby brother, even though we might have to change some more dirty diapers. It's pretty fun, and it's got like rhyming text, and it's pretty cool. I also like the book we read called Ice Cream Face, even though the ending was a little unrealistic. But any book about ice cream is pretty fun. So what did you think of Hudson, Mila?
It was good.
What did you think of the library?
It was good, nice.
You went to do the treasure hunt? You found some treasure in the library. And then she ate it. Because there was candy. Well, anyways, we'll move on to talking about some books. And I know Fatia is only able to be on the radio for a little bit today. So we're going to start with Fatia.
I have, it's like a poem. It's called Tomorrow. How I love tomorrow, the day when I'll be well, the day I'll lay down my sorrow and have my dreams fulfilled. When I need some dough, when peace and joy elude, I just think about tomorrow and I can make it all in strid. I can bear all things today, cause according to God's word, they soon will pass away, and that might just be my tomorrow. And I think it's by Ethan Orja. I can't really read the name because it's kind of hard to say.
That's okay. That sounds like a very lovely poem. What made you choose that poem?
What made me choose this poem is because it's very lovely and thought, and like whenever I'm like sad, I kind of think the same thing as that poem said, like that part at the end where tomorrow all of my sorrows will pass away, and I really like that part, and I actually like the whole poem. It was really nice.
Thank you for sharing that. I know Mila has a book that she's been reading. She's not quite done with it, but she could tell us what it's about and what she likes about it so far. I know one thing I like about it. It has really funny chapter titles. So what's the book you wanted to talk about, Mila?
So it's called Run Off From Here from G.O. Vodke. So it's about a family who, like, they couldn't live it on Earth anymore, so they left. At first, they left to Mars, and they were staying there for a while. But then eventually, they left, and they went to a different planet, and they like lived there for a long time, and they like stayed there for a while. But then, there was some giant mosquitoes there. And also, they got a message there that said that they could come to this planet that they live in. And then they went on a planet and they just swept the whole rocket ship ride. But during that time, they changed their mind. And then they're trying to make it so that the animals who kind of look like giant mosquitoes who live there don't want them to be there. And then they're having like a dinner. Then they're having like this dinner party, and the Zahui kids decide that it would be nice if they went to their school. And then at their school, and it's their first day, and a lot of them all scared of them, and that. Basically what I've got to.
That sounds really great.
They also like full motion, they make smell.
Wait, what?
They, to show emotion, they also make smell.
Like good smells and bad smells?
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's and intense. They also don't like singing and jokes.
That's tough. Because you like both of those things. I like both of those things too.
They think jokes are rude.
Sometimes they are. Some jokes are rude.
But I think all jokes are like really rude. So that's basically everything about the book.
Oh, it sounds really fun. Do the mosquitoes buzz in people's ears, and do they sting? Like, are they like little mosquitoes, or are they just look like mosquitoes?
They look like mosquitoes, but they don't buzz in people's ears.
They don't bite you.
Yeah, they're like as big as humans.
Yeah, that's why it was scary sounding to me, because mosquitoes really like me. Like, I'm the best bug spray you could have, or insect repellent you could have, because all the bugs will come to me instead of you if I'm standing next to you. And the idea of big mosquitoes is pretty terrifying to me. But if they just look like mosquitoes, then that's different.
Yeah. The only thing that's like mosquitoes is they have, like, things to sip things from, like their mouth looks like they use the same mouth as mosquito, and also, and that's basic, and they can fly. They look like mosquitoes.
Is the book pretty funny?
Yeah.
So even though mosquitoes don't like jokes, the book's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So they might not like the book, because they might say it's rude.
No, they just don't like jokes. They don't like it. They might think that they're funny, but they just don't like jokes.
Well, it's a fine line sometimes between what's a joke and what's funny.
Yeah.
That sounds good. I'll have to read that one sometime. It sounded really good. I like to read books that are suggested to me. I don't always get to all of them because people suggest books to me all the time. But the last time Mila was on the show, she talked about two books. And one of them I'm in the middle of, and one of them I read. So maybe I'll read that one too. And we're sort of in a book club together. Mila and my mom, who's her Nana, read books together. Mostly Mila and Nana. I join in sometimes. Did you and Nana pick out what your next book is? Maybe I know you narrowed it down to three.
No, I can't decide. They all look very good.
Well, you could read them all just one at a time.
Yeah, I know, but I can't decide which one I should read first.
Maybe our listeners can weigh in. We're trying to decide between A Wrinkle in Time, Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats of Nim, and Anastasia Krupnik. Or something like, it's one of the Anastasia books, which I loved the Anastasia books when I was a kid, but I haven't read them since I was a kid, so I don't know if they hold up over time. But Wrinkle in Time does. I've read that book more recently. And I don't know if I ever read Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats of Nim, but I watched the animated movie, The Secret of Nim, which is based on that book, and I was both like horrified by it and like obsessed with it. There are like scary parts that I was like, oh my goodness. It seemed really dark at times for a kid's movie. But that's that. Oh, and I didn't talk about a book yet. I forgot. I still have to share a book. So I shared a graphic novel that I read recently called Sea Sirens, A Trot and Cap'n Bill Adventure, which is the first in a so far two-book series by Amy Chu and Janet K. Lee, which centers on the adventures of Trot and Cap'n Bill, who are a young girl who loves to surf. She lives with her mom and her grandfather, who has dementia, so forgets things from time to time, but not all the time. And her cat, who's kind of like this older cat with one blind eye, and he goes surfing with Trot, which is pretty cool. Have you ever seen a surfing cat?
No.
I feel like I've seen videos of cats that do things that most cats that I've known in my life would never do, like ride a motorcycle or go on a skateboard with their human. I can't remember if I've seen a surfing cat, but in the first book, it's called Sea Sirens, and Trot and Cap'n Bill end up going to this underwater kingdom ruled by sea sirens and helping out with a dispute that the sea sirens have with another group. And it's this beautiful underwater adventure. They get the sea sirens give them the power to breathe underwater. And in doing so, Captain Bill, the cat, can also communicate verbally. They give him the power to communicate verbally. And then Grandpa gets pulled in on the adventure too. And they make new friends. And so in the second book, there's some, at the beginning, you can tell that there's still some communication between Trot and Captain Bill and Grandpa and the underwater friends that they've made. And something happens underwater that makes it so that one of the sea sirens has to come above water, you know, onto the land to help try to save their friend. And so it's sort of a reverse adventure where the underwater character comes above water. And it's called Sky Island, this new book, or second book. And one of the things in play in this book is an old amusement park. They made a woman whose family used to own and run this amusement park called Sky Island. And something about the friend that needs help has to do with this abandoned water park, amusement park. And it's pretty fun. I hadn't heard of this series until this summer, with the summer reading program being Oceans of Possibility. It came up on a list of potential titles that had a good fit because a lot of it takes place in the ocean or by the ocean. And it's pretty fun. I'm not sure if any more are being written, but I liked these two. And I felt like it worked as a duo, like two books. I don't know if there need to be more, but I do like the characters and the worlds. The underwater world in the first one was like really cool, and visually, because it's a graphic novel, like seeing this underwater kingdom was really pretty and, you know, imaginative and fantastical, and I really enjoyed that. And so I wasn't sure if them being above land, if it would measure up, but I think having this abandoned water park and seeing what it's become, like that part was pretty interesting in a similar way, where you get to see like a really cool, special place. So yeah, that's Sky Island, a Trot and Cap'n Bill adventure. Number two.
Cool.
I know we talk about graphic novels on the show a lot, especially me and Georgia, because we both love them so much. Georgia couldn't be here this week, but hopefully we'll be back next week. But I know that you read a bunch of graphic novels too, Mila.
Yeah.
Do you have any that stand out as favorites that you've read?
Not really. Some I liked more than others.
Do you have any that you would suggest to our listeners? Doesn't have to be your favorite, just one that comes to mind as something people would like.
I really liked it's like a series of daily, I forgot what it's called, but it's like they're like, and what's called like egg on something. Like on the spot or something like that.
Do you remember what it's about?
So it's basically about two people who live together. One's really interested in rocks, and they're living together. And it's pretty interesting. And you gave it to me, I remember.
Huh. One of them's really into rocks.
Do you know what it's called?
Why am I blanking on this? I can't remember. I wonder if it's one I haven't read yet. Was it one of the early readers? Like a preview copy?
No. I read it with my mom. Also, a lot of times it was related to rocket potatoes.
Rocket potatoes?
Yeah.
What kind of books am I giving you? I have no idea what these books are. That's so funny. It's going to come to me like an hour later. Like, oh yeah, rocket potatoes. I'm trying to think of the ones like I can think of that I remember giving you recently, at least. Maybe that was maybe these were a long time ago. I gave you the Shirley and Jamila books and Katie the Cat Sitter, I think.
What?
Shirley and Jamila? They're the ones that, they're two girls that, like, solve mysteries and help people out. And then there's Katie the Cat Sitter.
Maybe I can help you by saying that it was, the book was about animals.
It's about animals.
The main